Two churches in one day? Whew, that's a lot. No. If we're in the Gospel of Luke, before you call the nursing home for me and everything like that today, it's out of Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And Christ told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor regarded man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, vindicate me against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will vindicate her, or she will wear me out by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God vindicate his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will vindicate them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Prayer. Prayer is one of the most frequently discussed subjects in the world, especially in the church. If you go on Amazon into the book section, just type the word prayer in, you will have thousands of reference books on prayer. However, simultaneously, prayer is also the most neglected practice by people. We say we pray, but sometimes we forget about it. How many times have you had somebody say, would you pray for me? And guess what? Distractions come up and we forget. That's the reason I merely start praying for them as soon as they tell me, because we get so wrapped up and a telephone may ring or we may get interrupted by this or that, and we forget to do that. And you know, a lot of times praying is, as I said, the most neglected and overlooked part of being a Christian there is. Praying is a disciplined art, like practicing the piano or sewing or choreography or cooking. Unless praying is done with regularity, it soon becomes discarded, like yesterday's sardine can. At the same time, we pray over a problem for a period of time, but witness no immediate results. That starts our fingers tapping on the armchair, doesn't it? The conclusion is that when our patience wears thin, then we assume that God is hearing impaired. What God desires and perhaps what we request are two different concerns. Yet God always wants the best for us. Years ago, I prayed fervently for a church that God would call me to, a church in suburban Atlanta. I could taste it like a carnival hot dog. It was that much. I mean, I knew I should be going there. I even went down there a couple of times. And I'll tell you the reason why I did that. But truthfully, it was because a close friend of mine had a church in the Atlanta area, and he was very successful. And I thought, well, if he can be successful, I can too. And so I prayed to God. You don't know how many times I prayed to God, send me to Atlanta. Send me to Atlanta. I'll be glad. Oh, and all that, you know. And so my enthusiasm, if enthusiasm was anything, I had it at that time. And I thought it would be an idyllic setting for me. And I even tried to convince and bargain with God about my qualifications. Later, God directed me toward other horizons, which was a much better blessing than anything I could have conjured up myself. Several years ago, a church in suburban Atlanta did contact me, but there was little interest about pursuing it. A far cry from my earlier attitude. And so, incidentally, my friend who served in the Atlanta area back then, he eventually did leave his church for another call. So, you know, it didn't, so all that excess energy and enthusiasm was just, it was spent energy like that. But in reflection, looking back, my life has been a lot happier by God rerouting me to various destinations. So God does know best, even though we think we're more clever at times, that we can set the pattern straight. We all like to plan our lives. But I don't know about you, but my life has gone like a Singer sewing machine, zigzagging all over the place. I would have never imagined what I would, when I was even in high school, where God would have taken me. And so I'm not an oddball or an oddity. I'm sure we all have had that, those decisions we make. And so I stand amazed at how God has handled a lot. Sometimes we don't like some of the things that we may have to do, but in the long run, they're all for our benefit. And God does know best. Prayer does change us whether we acknowledge it or not. You know, the judge here in this 18th chapter who had little regard for God and less concern for his fellow human beings and was confronted by a widow of all people. Now, you've all been in enough of Bible studies to know that widows in the AD first century, they were mostly destitute. If they didn't have children to take care of them, there was only one other profession. It's called the oldest profession. I won't go into detail, but you know what I'm talking about. They didn't have government help handouts then. They didn't have anything. So you as a widow would have been up against it. So this widow in this story was going up against a very powerful judge. And it was a very hopeless situation from the widow's viewpoint. And you can't even imagine what she must have been going through. For her pleading fell on deaf ears repeatedly. Continually, the judge denied her vindication of seeking justice. It is not told what her grievance was exactly, but it must have been very important. The judge could have been bribed, he could have been bullied, and he could have been badgered into rendering a favorable decision. However, the widow had no money or power, and her only defense was through nagging the judge constantly. I'm giving some of you lawyers an idea what you can do to the judge tomorrow and nag him a little bit and all that. But daily she did this, and finally the harassed judge had enough of her, and in frustration and exasperation, he granted her the request in order to rid himself of this nuisance. Though the widow won out due to her persistence, however, it does not explain the complete story. Her determination was based upon a compelling desire to reach a just verdict. There is a verse in the Old Testament in Isaiah, the 41st chapter, the 21st verse, that says, "Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the God of Jacob." What it is, be clear, succinct, be blunt with God. God loves bluntness. Sometimes we hem-haw around and we don't tell God what's really on our hearts. Not that God doesn't already know, but you know, we need to be straightforward with God. Because if we are in a muddle constantly, we won't know where to do or what to ask or what to seek with God in that regard. Christ prescribed the remedy for effective praying through this example of the widow. You ask repeatedly. You request repeatedly. You seek God's help and guidance. Her honest pursuit for justice consumed her. Is there any concern, whether big or small, that God will not listen to in prayer? You know God will listen any day, any time, 24/7. God does not go on vacations. God does not put you on hold or out of order. God is there to listen to your pleas of anguish, to listen to what you need to know, of what you want to tell God about. So God is there, but sometimes we think God is an absentee landlord. That's not the case. There's no proof in the Bible that God is ever absentee, but we think sometimes God is everything. So is it something which encourages us? It's something prayer encourages us to go forward, like the widow, with the boldness and audacity to keep motivated. Delay and difficulty was there, but this widow endured it all. The widow is a perfect example of prayer with the driven desire to pursue God at all cost. In my original copy, I used the word gumption. She had a lot of gumption. She was there, and she wasn't going to step back at all. Do we have gumption in our lives today, or are we just wimps about it? We need to take God seriously, because we know God cares and loves us. God wouldn't have created us if God didn't love us. So think about that in your prayer life. It is a direct connection to God. You don't have to go through me. You don't have to go through a Ouija board. You don't have to go through anything except you can go directly to God. Think about that. Think about that. But in everything, delay and difficulty was there, but the widow did endure. And her, you know what actually was the factor in all of it? Her faith. Her faith brought her through that. So sometimes we neglect that in our lives. And praying along with faith will both enhance one another. It will strengthen both our prayer life and our faith life. We'll both come together on that. It's an interesting factor, but it's very, very true. She believed that her request would be eventually granted. You know, we may never encounter a judge, but circumstances or people can create roadblocks. Sometimes they could do more harm than good. But you cannot let people stand in your way of praying. You cannot allow that to happen. You know, a lot of times we tend to back off. Well, you know, you're praying. You don't necessarily have to tell them you're praying for them, but you're praying and let God know about it. Take God into your confidence. Heaven knows a lot of people take other people into confidence, and we call it gossip. So think about that. Take God in your gossip column and share with God what's on your heart. And you'll see some remarkable things happen. And your faith, as I said, will grow by leaps and bounds. You know, with determination, the widow believed that deliverance awaited her if she persisted. Power greater than the judge and over which he had no control was on his side. God, it was on her side in all this. Do you know a scripture verse in the book of Romans? And I believe it's Romans 8:31. If God be for us, y'all know the rest of it, who can be against us? Have you ever gotten to the point where you need to say that? It's very reaffirming and comforting to know that verse. Because I guarantee you that each of us, and yours truly, will be facing something this week. And remember that verse. If God be for us, who can be against us? That has gotten many people through difficult times. And always keep that verse nearby. Write it down. Put it in your bill folder, in your purse, or put it in your pocket. Keep that verse in mind when you're facing some difficulties that you think, I'm defeated. No, you're not, because God is on our side in that regard. Power greater than that judge was there for that woman. In that faith, she clung to hope until her plea was answered. Psalm 40, verse 4 says, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Now, that's another thing. Trust factor. Do you trust God enough to pray to God? A lot of times trust needs to be reinforced. Yeah, we said, well, I trusted God 15 years ago. Well, are you still trusting God today in 2019? Yeah, I mean, 2004 has been a long time ago. But think about that. Is your trust as well grounded in God now than it was 15 years ago? You may have to do a little spiritual inventory to see about that. We do need those inventories every now and then. Because why? We want our relationship to God to be more vibrant than ever. And it's very important to do so. This portrayal of the widow waiting and pleading for so long raises the old question, why is prayer unfairly delayed? Why is prayer unfairly delayed? Well, some people believe that unanswered prayer is due to sin or selfishness or lack of repentance in their lives, which may or may not be true. Delays often serve to intensify our deepest desires, even as habitual praying will eliminate the most superficial request. You will see yourself in a new depth of relations with God if you pray continually. Why settle for second best when God can deliver the utmost best God has to offer? God does not make mistakes, and God does not deliver anything that's inferior or cheap or anything. You don't have to go back to the, like in the stores there, go back and have a refund or something or it replaced. God always delivers the best. But a lot of people jump the gun on God, and guess what? They end up regretting it. I might have shared this with you. I had a young fellow come to me one time. His wife had left him. And he was one of these people. He was just crying away. He said, God is not pleased with this because my wife's left me. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, I don't think it's a suicidal problem. I said, if she left you, guess what? It may be that God has somebody better in mind for you. So, you know, when you look at hopelessness, when you look at things that are hopeless, think about this. God may have the best around the corner for you. Never give up hoping God, because God is going to be there for you. As I shared, I think at the other church, I think I called God an absentee landlord. I said, God is not an absentee landlord. God is there for us all the time. And so remember that. And remember that, put your faith solely with God. It originates with a keen sense of need in our lives to pray. The widow had a deep need there, and she prayed to God. We know she did, in order to face this judge. You know, these parables that Christ spoke about, I've always been of the opinion that they were actual real stories, that Christ knew of the circumstances of some people, but he left the names out, you know. And, you know, like in motion pictures where they say any similarity between this person, fictional or not, is purely coincidental, you know, that's to keep lawsuits down. And I think Christ probably knew these incidents, whether it was with the prodigal son or whatever it was. I think there was truth. I think those actual stories happen. Now you can sort of stand up to them and tell me that's not right. But I think Christ, these situations actually did happen. So this widow, she didn't have anything to lose. So why not stand up to that judge? And she certainly did. We have not, guess what? The book of James says we have not because we ask not. My sister got her a new job the other day, and you know what I told her last night? I said, keep your mouth shut for a change and just listen. She's a very opinionated person, and she says, I believe in standing up for my rights. I said, guess what? Don't start tramping on people's toes immediately. I said, be objective and stand back and listen. I said, you don't want to make any enemies your first week on the job. And actually, she agreed with me the first time in 40 years. So a lot of times, if we're that way with people sometimes, why can't we be, and I said earlier, we have not because we ask not. That's in the book of James. The book of James will fill you full of really insight if you read it about things that we need to do, but most of the time we don't. So, yes, if you have to be opinionated toward God, because God will help. God will help. I want you all to think of a problem you're going through right now, or maybe you've gone through and you've had an answer. Come back later sometime and tell me. If it's not too personal, don't tell me if it's a real personal problem. But tell me, did God actually come through for you? And I guarantee you, and 100% guarantee, that God will do it for you, will solve it. How come? Because I had the faith in God that God answers prayer. Now, you say, well, I asked for this and God gave me that. But if you look close enough, that's a lot better than what you wanted. Think about that. Think about that today. Think about that tomorrow. So start praying as if you already believe that God has answered your prayer. It's a simple fact. It is a simple fact. Now, what I preached about today, I'll probably have to live it out this week because I always do with these sermons. So don't think you're going to be on your own on this. I'll be walking with you in this regard. Because prayer is the heartbeat of being a Christian. We need that reinforced energy. We talk about taking our one-a-day vitamins and everything like that and all. Well, what about taking your spiritual vitamins? And the Bible and prayer are the best things. So think about that. Pray about it this week. And ask God to guide you. And ask God for forgiveness for not trusting God more than you should have. Let us pray. Oh Lord, sometimes in our Christian faith and life, we tend to forget that we should take you into our confidence. Help us, O God, in so many ways. Bless us and keep us, O Lord. Be with those, Lord, that we are concerned about, those who we are worried about, those who are in need. Perhaps somebody here needs an answer to prayer. We know that you will answer them. We ask this through the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen.